Watchable, episode 30. Today we'll be discussing Veronica Mars episodes 5, Blast from the Past, and 6, Rat Saw God. I'm Danielle, and with me we have Mitch, Gabrielle, and Ariana, who will be joining us in just a few minutes. So, hey everybody, how you doing?
Oh, great. So fabulous.
So fabulous.
So awesome. Excited for some more Veronica Mars. I hate when I have like a 3-week gap in between recordings, because I just really like... It's like you're missing out on a best friend. You just need some more Veronica in your life.
You do. I agree.
As critical as I can be about her character flaws, you know? You still love her to death.
Hey, character flaws are some of the best things about characters.
Oh, I'm thinking of you, Snape.
All right. So, we are moving through season 2, sort of slowly, but that's not too bad. We are on episode 5, Blast from the Past, and here's just a quick synopsis of it so we can just kind of jump right in. In this episode, Wallace confronts his mom about Nathan and finds out that she's been lying to him for years. Meanwhile, Keith's huge lead in the polls takes a turn when Sheriff Lamb reveals that Keith once failed to arrest the bus crash driver for a DUI. Speaking of the bus crash, Veronica discovers a voicemail where 2 explosions are clearly audible. After showing the voicemail to Keith, he brings it to the sheriff's department's attention. Veronica nominates Wallace for Homecoming King, and Jackie's jealousy reaches a boiling point. After asking for help and pretending to befriend Veronica, Jackie publicly humiliates her on a psychic talk show. Veronica finds out that Jackie's dad is in debt for gambling and baseball. She plans to reveal the secret at the homecoming dance, but after another fight with Wallace over how she's basically a terrible friend, she decides to put Wallace's happiness over her revenge. It turns out that Wallace is just as mad as Jackie, though, and he dumps her as a homecoming date. At the dance, Veronica catches Jackie kissing Logan and blows up at her. She says Jackie is breaking Wallace's heart, and Jackie says that Veronica wants every guy to herself. Wallace says they all suck, and Duncan says everything will be okay because he's too vacant to realize that his girlfriend in part blew up because she is so clearly in love with his best friend. Ariana is wonderful. Okay, and in the end... Wallace runs off with Nathan to Chi-Town because he has 99 problems and these bitches are definitely one.
Oh.
Those bitches are one.
Those bitches, like numbers 1 through 10, I feel. But they are definitely one.
So, wow.
All right. So let's get started. Let's jump right in. First thing I want to talk about is Keith and Alicia. Their relationship has kind of hit, it's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place because Keith, the last time we saw Keith, he was trying to get Nathan arrested or just get him to leave town, and he had the wrong information, so he looked kind of foolish. And so he kind of took some paperwork from Alicia, and she found out, and now it's just kind of a huge mess. Do you think that they'll be able to survive this, Mitch?
I don't know. Like, they haven't talked in a while, and it seemed to me like Wallace's mom was just showing up, and she was like, all right, you know what? Last straw. I'm not even going to fight with you right now. You stole a birth certificate of my son. We're done. That's so low. I don't care what reason you thought you were doing it for. And I agree with her. I think that that was Papa Mars pushing his boundaries too far. I care for... Well, I understand his intentions, but I don't think that they're legitimate because I think you need to straight up ask people like that. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just like totally missing something, Gabrielle, with like where he is justified in what he's doing.
I don't know. I think that they're both at fault. And so I'd love them to stay together. You know, it just depends. But I think Keith should not have stolen Wallace's birth certificate. That kind of shows a lack of trust in Alicia, but at the same time I think she shouldn't have lied to him in the first place about who the guy was. And I think she, you know, they had been dating for a while, it seemed. You know, she was there for him when he was burned by Aaron Eccles, so I think she should have, like, he showed vulnerability to her, and I think she should have done the same thing back to him and actually like told him the story.
Yeah, that's a good point. She really is at fault just as much as he is in this situation because she's being dishonest and not telling Keith about who that secretive man from Chicago is and all that stuff. So I agree with you to a certain extent. that they're both at fault. I couldn't really define who's more at fault because it's a weird just like Adriana wrote in her show notes, this was a rock and a hard place, or as Danielle said, it is so weird to like think about someone else's relationship because it's like, oh, I'm so relieved that's not me. But could you guys imagine yourself in this situation? What would you do as Keith, for instance? I don't know. Well, I don't know what I would do.
I don't know.
I
It's hard. It's
mean,
hard to talk to someone who doesn't want to open up. At the outset, I think that what Keith did was questionable, if not wrong. But then the fact that Alicia continues lying, like her lies change throughout the episode. She lies to Keith in the previous episode. And then when Wallace confronts her the first time, she lies. When Wallace confronts her the second time, she tries to lie again and like with a new lie. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel, but that just really bothered me. I felt like it was not very Mama Fennell like, but at the same time, I could definitely see it being her, which is sad and disappointing.
I just think relationships are a two-way street, whether it's between a mother and son or a boyfriend and girlfriend. And when communication breaks down, like it did with Keith and Alicia, as much as I think they're adorable together, maybe they shouldn't be together if they don't have that trust. And I think Mrs. Fennell is really going to have to work to regain Wallace's trust, but that he shouldn't necessarily forget like what her intentions behind it.
And Papa Mars's trust. She has to work hard to get him to believe her again. She like he, remember when they were at Chicago and she was basically like, "Oh, that's just an ex-boyfriend." And later on, she was like, "I need a gun for that ex-boyfriend." And both him and her were like, "All right, cool, we've got this situation." And it was just so sad in retrospect, thinking back to where Keith was like, "I'll give you something better to cuddle up with than a gun, myself." Like he's putting himself on the line for, the true the adopted father of Wallace. Is that what we're going to call him? Because he's not the biological father, right?
I think his dad. We can just, I mean, that's the guy who raised him.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no. Oh, well, okay.
Who are you talking about?
I'm a little bit confused about the dad situation.
Okay.
Let me tell you as I understand it, and maybe you guys can clarify.
Sure.
This is Wallace's biological father, and that is both Wallace and his little brother's biological father, died and is buried. The stepfather to Wallace and his little brother is the man that's chasing after them right now?
No.
I was so confused by that storyline. I
Yeah.
don't know.
So what happened is that Mama Fennell isn't originally from Chicago,
Okay.
I believe. They're all originally from my hometown. They're from here. She was dating Nathan, and he was an undercover cop, and he was trying to like do drug busts and all these things, and they were boyfriend girlfriend. He, for lack of a better term, knocked up Mama Fennell with Wallace. Mama Fennell splits because he's unreliable. He's bringing home guns and drugs and storing them like in their apartment and scaring her. So she flees, changes her name. Her mom won't tell him where she is. And then she ends up meeting Mr. Fennell, who's the man she ends up marrying. And I believe that he then is the father to Wallace's younger brother. So they are half
Oh,
siblings.
now it makes 20
And
times more sense. That's absolutely
Mr.
beautiful.
Fennell is the one who eventually died. And that's why they moved, and that was after, or, and they, the family moved to Neptune after Mr. Fennell, not Nathan, but Mr. Fennell had died.
So recently,
Relatively, I believe so.
within like the past, let's say 5 years, we could say.
I would say five, yeah. Does that sound about right, Gabrielle?
Yeah, I mean, we're never exactly clear on that, but I'd say so. It's been a while.
Well, Adriana, you're finally in. Are you more clarified on what's going on with who's the daddy for Wallace, like biologically and mentally, I guess?
Mentally. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, I'm sure you understood it firsthand because you didn't write anything in your show notes about, like, I have no clue who's the real dad. I don't know what's going on. But when I was watching it, I was just confused as crap.
Oh,
Yes, it makes more
sorry.
sense now.
Yeah.
We're all
Yeah,
clear.
so that's the timeline. as we know it.
Sweet.
So.
Oh, that was a very good no comment. That was like a hidden no comment. That was like
Was it?
Inserted. Okay. No, because it was like a no comment inserted within your comment. Because you basically said,
as we know it?
As we know it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll take it.
Oh, that was good.
All right. So, moving on, I just wanted a quick touch on during the scenes at school when they're about to nominate people for Homecoming King and Queen, we get a small, like, season one reunion. And it makes me really happy because I forgot about it. But we see the girl who got her dog stolen. We see one of the best background characters that Veronica Mars has to offer, and that's Corny. You remember him, he was in season one. He was checking his locker when the bombs or like the sniffing dogs. Was it the first one?
I think so.
The dogs were sniffing around for drugs or something. He was checking his locker and he like stuffed a bag of pot down his pants and like totally ran away.
Oh, yeah.
It's Corny. He's so fun. So,
he's the one who nominates Veronica, right?
Yes, he is.
I nominate Veronica Mars. Like, yeah. Wasn't he like, she's hot and she's a badass?
Yeah. I was like, that's true. Good
he
for
has,
you,
like,
for
a real. Tiny little crush on Veronica. Or like, he just really likes her as a person. It's just, I love Corny. It makes me happy.
And it's true. Like, I think that Kristen Bell has gotten even prettier than before, which is really strange because she was already gorgeous. And not even just like, you know, drooling over her because it's like all like that's our podcast and we talk about Veronica Mars. Legitimately, like she was a gorgeous woman in season one, but now she's grown up to become more mature. And obviously her hair being longer has changed her look more. I think she looks better with longer hair personally. And I think that she just looks hot. She used to be like gorgeous, but now she has like a sex appeal to her too. And I can see why Corny would like her, you know?
Oh, Corny. So, I just wanted to bring that up.
And am I just imagining it? Are her lips a lot shinier in this season? I feel like she just, like, puts on more, like, lip gloss than ever. Like, that's a little too much for me in the sex appeal department because it doesn't scream Veronica.
I mean, lip gloss she's hit neat. The scene. Sorry, go ahead, Gabrielle.
She's a little less grungy this season. Not to say that she was, like, grungy last season, but last season she was more rough around the edges as she was really struggling to find her place and she was on her own and didn't have a lot of friends. But I think this season she's just, you know, she has a popular boyfriend and she's again trying to find her place, but is more secure with who she is and realizes that she can combine some pre-Veronica with, you know, the new Veronica. And I think that attributes to her look a little more.
Let's just hope that she doesn't go back to her old long-haired cheerleading days from flashbacks, because that was a little bit too ridiculous. But she did go from 0 to 60, so it's almost like she's slowing down to, like, 45.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That sounds about right. Yeah. Okay, so we get this sort of mystery of the week, but it's basically trying to iron out what's going on with Jackie and how awful of a person she is. And so I guess my question is, who did you feel bad for in this episode? Was it Veronica, whose secret got shared on TV, who was kind of gets in a fight with her best friend because of his backstabbing girlfriend? Did you feel bad for the girlfriend and how she felt slighted? Or did you feel bad for Wallace for being in the middle of something that was kind of unnecessary?
I didn't feel bad for Jackie, that's for sure.
All right.
Really, Mitch? Not at all?
Damn sure.
Should I have Ariana?
Well, okay. I don't know. This was like a roller coaster of emotions once again, because, you know, at first, you know, I hate Jackie, of course, because she's horrid. But then, you know, she starts opening up to Veronica, and I'm like, oh, Veronica, you really don't have to try to be her friend. But then she does, because she's such a nice person, and she cares about Wallace. Well, she's not always a nice person, but she is in this episode.
Today she is.
Today she decides to be nice. And she, like, befriends Jackie, and Jackie is opening up to her. And I'm like, wow, Jackie, you are actually, like, okay, I get it. You're insecure around Veronica. I would be, too. She's smoking hot and always around her best friend. But then she goes and she does that thing with the Lily, and the boob stuff that she smothers on her chest. And I was like, you are so horrible. I hate you, hate you, hate you, Jackie. But then, like, what she tells Veronica, it's really sad at the dance when she's like, just pick one. And I was like, you're right. Veronica does just need to pick one. She wants everybody. Which I get it. They're awesome, but...
Whatever happened to Leo? Wasn't he part of that everybody? No, guess not.
Exactly. Well, but that's kind of how she is. She, like, expects everybody to be like, me!
Yeah, like, there when she needs them. And I'm like, you know, people don't like being tossed around that much. I don't know. I still don't know why Duncan's dating her. You think he would have learned, if not from his previous relationship from Veronica, but from the way she's dated other people so on and off quickly, too, that she's not going to be a reliable girlfriend. Not saying she's going to cheat, but she's going to still have strong feelings toward other men, and she's going to demonstrate that by still showing affection
by yelling at girls that kiss them?
Right, right, exactly.
Okay.
Because there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there, because that's Wallace and Logan that she's protecting.
In regards to why, you know, she kind of wants everyone to, as Mitch said, like, be at her, you know, call, I think it has to do with Lily a lot, because Lily was very intoxicating as a friend and everyone wanted to be friends with her or date her. And I think Veronica models that a little bit, just in the fact that she does, you know, she wants Wallace to be available to her, you know, when she needs him, even if that means interrupting his makeout session with Jackie, and she wants Duncan to be there and Logan to be there. But I don't think it's necessarily like a conscious effort. I just think she's afraid of losing her friends. Mm-hmm. And she just has Lily to model on, and Lily was that kind of person.
No, I agree.
I think it's a friend thing. And I agree that it seems like she always wants their attention, but I to go back to Mitch's point about how she's like an unreliable girlfriend, I wholeheartedly disagree with that. It doesn't make you a bad person to like try to date around and see who you feel best with. I don't think she did anything to Duncan that would warrant him feeling wary about dating her again. Things with her and Leo didn't work out because she found out she had feelings for Logan, and she told Leo pretty much right away. She told him flat out what was going on. Like, I don't know. I don't think that makes her an unreliable girlfriend.
No, I agree totally that the Leo thing was legitimate. That's not anywhere near on my list of points about how she's unreliable. I commend her for doing what she did in that situation. That was smart. I'm thinking more of how Veronica went Logan off, Logan, Duncan. I would think that that set off some kind of red alarms to Duncan, only because she was so quick to be on or off with Logan, and she was also so quick to be on with Duncan. I know that with that stress in life, she probably needed someone to be able to hold on to, and that's where she was going toward people like Logan and Duncan. But to a certain extent, I felt like there was a bro code that should have been put inside, which seems very arbitrary and amateur to say right now, but I what I'm saying is I thought that there would have been a loyalty between Duncan and Logan to the effect where they would have decided that I'm not going to, you know, make the situation worse and date this girl that you were just dating, Logan. And that to me makes Veronica a little bit of an unreliable girlfriend, because she jumps from Logan to Duncan so quickly. And that's one, once again, she goes 0 to 60 very quick. She goes from hating to loving someone, or being cold to them to loving them completely all the time. She's just so hard to predict. I can't put my finger on her. But go ahead, Gabrielle. I mean,
Logan, first of all, Duncan knows Logan because Duncan is his best friend, and Duncan knows how Logan can be. Logan was becoming a danger, not only to himself, but people around him. So Veronica jumped ship, and you saw that it was hard for her. And we didn't really get a sense of how long, I guess, Duncan had been courting her that summer, because it was just shown in flashbacks. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it wasn't just completely like jump out of one and immediately into another.
It seemed like it was a while. That's what the impression I got in the first episode, that he was just being like a stalker and being there every day for like weeks.
Well, it's probably difficult for us to tell because we haven't seen it in flashbacks. So that could be where I'm mistaken, that it wasn't 0 to 60, that there was a pretty long, we'll call it, courting period that Duncan did.
Like, I understand your point, but that's just how it was conveyed.
I also think the bro code is less of a deal than the girl code, which I think is what this episode kind of focuses on, even though Veronica hasn't dated Wallace, but her actions, I mean, she should know to not, if someone has a girlfriend, they shouldn't drop their best friend, but at the same time, she has to be willing to share him a little more than she has. So I think, yes, the bro code's important in Veronica Mars, but in this episode, I think it's more about the girl code and Veronica trying to be friends with a girl who shares someone's affections.
She's in a tough position, and I can see how she wants to bring out the claws toward Jackie, especially since I'm still on the team of Kim Possible, Ron Stoppable, Veronica, and Wallace.
I wish, but it's never going to happen.
You don't douse my hopes. Everyone always douses my hopes about Lick.
Speaking of Jackie, I guess, do we think, or how did we interpret that psychic? Because Jackie claimed that she didn't say anything about Lily. So on
yes
one hand,
okay that was so
was
weird
fishing. She was fishing for information. On the other hand, she said something about Lily. Do you think it's just because the Mars name is so well known that she just kind of threw it out there because
it's
Mars?
True. I mean, anybody could know that. Like, everybody knew she was dating Logan. And everybody knew that Lily was dating Logan. But I want to know who told her. That's the thing. She must have, like, I don't know. Is this a recurring plot or is this just, like, a one-time thing? Because
it's like a one-time thing.
Oh, well, then I was like, there must psychic. Be some secret agent who's in on it. And the psychic is part of a bigger plot, but obviously not.
Adriana, she's obviously Trelawney.
She reliable just every some... once in a while. She
right. She predicts some good stuff every once in a while, life-changing
things.
She thinks
on something right.
But then Lily, she was like, stay away from my boyfriend. So what do you think that means? Is Lily angry? I don't think so.
I believed that the psychic was really telling the future with that. I really was all for that. I thought that was Lily's ghost reaching in and saying, like, stay away from Logan.
Oh, see, I thought it was stay away from my boyfriend. And that was the message Jackie wanted to send.
For Wallace.
Saying stay away from Wallace. Oh. Yeah. That's what I got. I mean, those are three very different options, so.
They are. Yeah. I'm hoping it was Lily's ghost. I want a extreme supernatural element to be added into Veronica Mars, because they've hinted at it with Lily's ghost saving Veronica from going on the bus, and, of course, all the times that she showed up in other flashbacks. I like to believe that that is... Not flashbacks, sorry, hallucinations. I like to believe those aren't hallucinations, though. I like to believe that those are ghosts of Lily, and I'd like to see that be the supernatural element that I am talking about wanting. That, you know, she shows up and is able to intervene every once in a while. Or maybe it's something like Veronica's a clairvoyant or something, you know? She can see ghosts, and that's going to play into all the dead people in her life all around her. Like the bus people. Oh, that's a good twist. I should write season two.
That would be a good twist.
Everyone was silent. You guys were just like, sorry, no, that's not a good idea. That's not a good idea at all.
Do you really believe that, Danielle? Or did you just want to like feel like you needed to validate that for him?
I mean, a lot of points of season two are slow. So I feel like it's not, I love Rob Thomas and I enjoy season two. But I think maybe something different would have been fun.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. So far, I feel like it's been pretty slow. I've enjoyed them because I've enjoyed the relationships and now that we know them all. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fun to see Jackie and Veronica's cat fights over all the guys, but I'm also, like, I don't care about the mysteries, really. Like, who set the bus on fire? Like, who cares? Or, like, we'll find out in the last episode, whatever.
I feel like the weekly mysteries aren't as gripping. Not that like season one was like, oh my god, who's dying this week, but I don't know. I felt more attached to the mini mysteries of the week last season than, I don't know.
I mean, we did have like, Blair Waldorf, so that's going to trump everything.
Yeah. Well, like last season, whenever we finished and we had to wait like another week to watch, I'd be like sitting there all week like, I just want to watch. I just want to watch. And this time I'm very like content. Like, oh, when I finish, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the first season is my favorite season. So maybe that's, so I'm biased. But I think that this season it's less mystery of the week. And it's more like the bus crash is kind of incorporated into every episode. Or, you know, like in this episode, we had a voicemail that was important. So it's more continual versus last season. It would kind of like come in various waves, if that makes sense.
Why would the girl who had that voicemail not know that that was a big deal?
I know.
She was like, oh, I had this voicemail that's like right before she died. I get really emotional listening to it. And I was like, oh, you know, the police case that's going on for that. There's an investigation. You don't care. Like, you're just going to keep that to yourself. There's no like, I mean, maybe I'm being really cynical and that's like a big sentimental thing to her. But well, still, like, I would always think, if I knew someone in that accident, I need to do whatever I can to help them figure out what happened, for just for the memory of my friend, to find out what really happened.
What do you guys think is up with that voicemail? Like, it's two explosions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that tell us anything we didn't already know?
Well, yeah. For one, it tells us that it wasn't just the guy driving drunk over a cliff. It was, you heard the first bang was an explosion. The second bang was them hitting the guardrail and going over. And then when it cuts out, that's when like the bus hits the water. So before, if it would have just been the guy, the bus driver being drunk or on something, it would have been just that guardrail and the water and not the thing in the beginning.
Hmm.
So there was an explosion, like the bus was rigged to explode.
That's weird that they didn't catch that. Like, you think when they picked up the bus, don't you think they should have been able to tell that? Well, I guess not. The bus probably had some damage. Like, that there was an explosion.
Well, they didn't. I don't think they drudged up the bus until they got the voicemail, which.
Why wouldn't they do that?
Why are they going to let that thing just sit down there? It's not like it's a wrecked ship in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle or something. It's right off the side of the highway.
It's Sheriff Lamb, and he. Once he thinks he knows who did what, he sticks with it. So when they thought he was drunk, it's not a good reason, but I think that's why they didn't drag the bus up. But even Keith was surprised, like when they found out that they had the bus. So it must have just recently happened that they took it up out of the water.
God, I couldn't imagine the actor playing that role. Like, I don't know how he sleeps at night knowing he plays such a horrible person on TV.
Oh, I think he's kind of fun.
You do?
I kind of like him. I mean, he's stupid, but I think he's kind of fun. But then again, I also liked Aaron Eccles, so.
Oh my god. Yeah, you Slytherin. That's always my really face value comment, too, whenever you like someone that's evil. Not all Slytherins are evil.
I mean, they are. J.K. Rowling, she has prejudices, but that's fine.
She has whatever. Prejudices against the own group that she made.
Do we think that Keith should have turned that voicemail over to the sheriff's department? Or you think he should have kept it for himself? You think he should have used it as leverage? Like Veronica's point, how it would have helped him get into office and then he could help them better with the investigation. What were your thoughts on that, if any?
I guess he did the right thing. I don't know. I'm not really invested in this voicemail, even though I feel like we should be because it seems like it's really important. But I feel like we already knew that he wasn't drunk, that this was all planned, some conspiracy, probably by Aaron Eccles, possibly by Meg. So.
Oh.
By Meg. Leave my girl alone. She's in kidding. A coma, you horrible human Slytherin.
I was going to say names, she planned it. She's a pretty bad planner.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
You think she would have gotten off the bus by then?
That was part of her revenge. She was so angry.
Oh my god. But she has secret information on her laptop. What is it? Oh my god, Meg, what is going on with you? Oh my god, no. Now, I want to call you a Slytherin to, like, be, like, a nasty joke, but I feel like people are not going to appreciate that. They're going to be like, no, Slytherins are not that mean. Mitch was picking on us. I was going to be like, you Slytherin, you've turned me against my own friend, Meg. Oh, she totally is doing something dangerous and sketchy. But she's my Meg. How could she?
Oh, did you guys know that the actress who plays Meg, she was the second runner-up to play Veronica?
Oh, that's weird. No, she's not a good Veronica. Like, I love her, but...
I can see her being a good Veronica.
Like, would you catch Rupert Grint playing Harry Potter? That's what the equivalent is to me.
But have you ever seen... have you ever seen Supernatural?
I haven't. Why? Well, who's she?
Oh, she's a badass.
Oh, really? So she's like... Well, okay. Does anyone watch? I don't think you guys do. You don't watch Teen Wolf on here, right?
Unfortunately, not.
Oh, for anyone not who yet, does watch the show, I can imagine her being a badass in the same aspect that Allison is on Teen Wolf, because she has this really sweet naivety to the way she talks. But then again, I can imagine her, like, you know, wielding like a bow and arrow and like shooting Aaron Eccles in the face or something.
Yeah, no.
And being like, suck it, bitch.
She has like, she knows her way around guns. She's got a pretty cool knife, and she just kind of flips it over, and she's tough. So I could see her being, I think I did hear that she was runner up for Veronica, but I could see her being a Veronica.
She would be a lot different than Kristen Bell, but I think that she could pull her off in a different kind of way, but she would still be good.
I agree.
It'd be a very different show, and in that Kristen same Bell place probably wouldn't have been as big of a celebrity, wouldn't you guys say?
Kristen Bell would? Probably not. I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, she has a cute quality to her that is infectious anyway, so she might have been able to land, like, forgetting Sarah Marshall regardless, but I don't know.
Who knows? Yes, I'm not sure what her role in our celebrity world would be, minus Veronica Mars. We all know this is her start, so.
So did we want to discuss anything else for this episode at all? Are we just kind of over it?
This was sad to see Alicia and Keith kind of end, because, like, we don't see anything of them in this next upcoming episode, so I'm anxious to see if they're going to be in episode 7 again, because I just want closure. If it's, like, done, like, I just want to know what's going on, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
Who do you feel like is in the wrong between them?
Oh, we were talking about that. We couldn't decide.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. Like, we were just confused, because we were like, they're both kind of wrong, but who's more wrong?
Did you want to weigh in on that, Ariana?
No. I mean, Keith is more wrong, I think. But I guess she was wrong, too. But who cares? Whatever. They're done with this. It bums me out.
So you're fine with Alicia and Keith being done?
No, I want them to go on forever, but they're not going to do that because, I don't know.
Because we need Ron Stoppable and Kim Possible to get together, so their parents
can't. Well, yeah, they don't want Wallace and Veronica to be step-siblings for whatever reason, because they want Veronica to be alone and unhappy, so.
Or no, they don't want her to be alone and happy. They want her to be with Wallace. Either way.
That's also never going to happen.
They're either horrible people or they're great people. So you're also, you don't think that Stoppable is going to happen?
No, I thought it was in the first season, but I don't think it is in this season.
You know what might have convinced me that you're right? It's the fight that he had where he came into her house and he's like, I've always been that shoulder for you to lean on. Where are you for me? And I was like, ooh, good point.
Exactly. Like, he's not really her type. He's too nice of a guy and he's too cool and too great. And she... obviously,
is
just like
her type then.
Duncan is her type. I don't know why, but he is. Like, they all kind of have that same kind of dopey thing, but aren't. I don't know. Like Duncan and Leo, and Logan, except that he's awesome. That's the difference.
Let's move on to our favorite scenes and favorite lines to wrap up this episode, so we can jump into Rat Saw God. So my favorite scene from this episode was Wallace sort of singing to his dad at the Sack and Pack, because Wallace got some pipes.
Mm-hmm.
He really Wallace does. Is good.
He had some soul.
Mm-hmm. It makes me happy. So
seriously, he really does.
Yeah.
My favorite line, or my favorite scene, is similar to Ariana's, but it's when Veronica pulls Jackie away from Logan at homecoming, She just makes a beeline for them the minute she sees them dancing together. And I don't think it's necessarily just because Jackie was dancing with someone. I think it was the Logan aspect. And everyone knows I love me some Logan Eccles. So, of course, that was going to be my favorite scene.
Did we talk about this? Because I also got the impression that it was not just because Jackie was cheating, sort of, on Wallace. It was because she was kissing Logan, and she was like, "That's my man." So,
yeah, but so we're okay with it, though, sort of, because you guys don't like Duncan anyway, so you guys are okay with it.
Yeah, no, Duncan's still just like a dump. He just that sounded worse than it was meant to be. But I mean, a dump. He's just like, "Sigh, I'm here, Veronica." He's like Eeyore. He has zero personality. He's just so damn boring. Ugh. He's not like mean. I just he doesn't do anything.
How fun was it when like everybody wanted Wallace to win instead of Duncan? That was that was funny. Yeah.
That was cute.
But then what did Mr. Mars say? It was like betting on the or
it's like rooting for the Yankees.
Yeah.
I take it Rob Thomas's sports things came through there, his loyalties to his real life sports or something.
He's a Texas fan. He's from Texas, so he's actually like pro Texas team. But I mean, he is a sporty guy, I think. So yeah. Ariana, I'm sorry, your favorite scene?
When the psychic is like, and Lily says, "Stay away from my boyfriend." And then like Wallace and Duncan and Logan's faces are all like, WTF. Is that was my face too. That's right when it cuts to the commercial break. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on?
Oh, imagine if these were real commercials.
I know. I was like, Lily's coming back from the dead.
For real. I'd be like tweeting the crap out of this episode right now. I'd be like, oh my God, Lily's still alive.
If only Twitter was around when this show first aired, it would be fun.
Oh, it would be so fun to live tweet the show. It really would.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I think it also would have kept the show on the air. I've said that before, but I think it would have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the hot young men on the show would do plenty of good, too, for that online generation.
It's done well for Tumblr, I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Like, Tumblr would have eaten this up. There would have been so many... F yeah, Logan Eccles tumblers. There'd be ones for Aaron Eccles, I'm sure. Oh, there are?
Oh, God, there are.
Why
there
for are. Aaron? Can we not for Aaron?
Oh,
can
no, I'm sorry, not Aaron.
Oh.
Not Aaron. Oh, Tumblr is a great place for Veronica Mars fans if you would like spoilers. If you don't want spoilers, do not go there.
Sometimes I have to like Google the word Veronica Mars and I squint when I first do it because the Google search results automatically go to news to like avoid the spoilers. And I'm like, I just need like season one image or something. And I'm just like, I'm squinting even then because I'm like, oh, when does she have short hair? Okay, there, I'm good.
If you ever need help, just let me know and I'll search for you.
Thank you. Yes. It's funny. It's like when I can't remember who it was now, but someone wrote about a Veronica Mars story recently, and you guys were like, Karen, you are not allowed to edit this. I know you're an editor of Hypeable, but you cannot edit it because you will be so screwed for the podcast.
That was so funny.
We try to protect our both our readers and our writers and editors who have not yet watched episodes. So that's why, for Hypeable listeners, we'll always put like spoilers ahead. So if you read on, it's kind of your fault.
Yeah, definitely.
Mitch, favorite scene?
My favorite scene is when Papa Mars tells Veronica that she was beautiful when she came out in her homecoming dress because she was very pretty, and I loved her eyeshadow and her hair. It was a really good combo. Good stylist. Whoever's doing Veronica Mars clothing, if you guys are like in on that world too, because I know you guys know a lot of like the behind-the-scenes stuff, Danielle and Gabrielle, I'd love to know because I think they do such a good job of dressing her up for her dances and her funerals and her court cases and all that business.
And her tie belt.
Oh, her tie. Oh, God, tie belt. I mean, I'll forgive her for the tie belt because she redeemed herself. She or he, the stylist, redeemed themselves with the.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the stylist is really good. I can't recall who it is off the top of my head, though, or what else they've done.
For now, I'm just going to pretend it's Cinna from The Hunger Games.
That's good. All right.
The girl on fire, Veronica Mars!
She was almost on fire once.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there you go. Oh my god, that's just too asking soon, for like a parody Daniel. Trailer. It really is.
Sorry.
Oh, there's there had okay. We should make fun listener challenges akin to the old MuggleCast days where they'd be like, "Oh, great, go off and put like a poster up in McDonald's and take a picture or something." We should make the Veronica Mars challenge of the week to make like a Catching Fire Veronica Mars trailer and use Veronica as the girl on fire and like actually show that scene. It'd be so ironic.
No, nobody is gonna do that.
That would be amazing.
That would be so great. I know. No one's gonna follow that.
For your guys' info, the stylist on Veronica Mars, both the movie and the series, is Salvador Perez Jr., and he has also worked on Moonlight, with which Jason Doring was in, Castle, he's worked on Castle, Party Down, which is also by Rob Thomas, and he also worked on Pitch Perfect, which I think we all love, and The Mindy Project, as well as some other things as well. Oh, I love The Mindy Project. Yeah, so he's really well known and he's amazing.
Good guy. All right, favorite lines. Mine is from Veronica to Duncan. When Duncan starts questioning what she's doing, she replies, "You're here for your looks. Why don't you leave the heavy thing to me, sugar pants? Now go make yourself pretty."
Come on, Eeyore. Let me step all over you.
Gabrielle, favorite line. That was cute.
So my favorite line is Veronica, after the whole psychic televised live event, which is very unfortunate, she answers her phone and goes, "Chesty LaRue, hey Duncan, I'm fine. I'm slathering up my boobs as we speak." So I may have stolen it from someone and I apologize, but that is my favorite line. And we can have the same favorite lines.
Well, since Gabrielle stole mine, I'll go with one that I also, that was much more meaningful, actually. And it's when Wallace is calling Veronica on the phone, and he tells her, "Jackie's right about one thing. It's your world. I just live in it." It was so sad.
For real.
It's kind of true. I mean, it is her show.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sad.
And my Mitch. Quote.
Yeah.
So sorry. My quote
was
in the beginning of the episode when their teacher's like, "Homecoming season is upon us." Veronica interrupts with, "Much like the plague."
Yes. It's kind of truthful. A little bit. All right. So we are on to episode 6, Rat Saw God. Here's the quick synopsis. In this episode, Don Lamb wins the race for sheriff, and after the anonymous caller comes forward, the guy who made the call from the bridge, Logan is once again arrested for Felix's murder. He gets a mighty little surprise when he's put in the same cell as his dad, and Aaron is up to his old charming tricks again as he almost convinces us that Duncan actually killed Lily. Veronica returns back to her apartment to find Abel Koontz waiting for her. He's dying, still, and wants to see Amelia again. Unfortunately, Veronica and Clarence Weedman find Amelia dead and stuffed into a freezer at a shady motel. But Veronica has a heart, so she lies to Abel Koontz as he dies, saying that she's okay. After Logan gets out on bail, the PCHers set his house on fire. Logan retaliates by buying out Weevil's grandma's house. Now that Logan needs a place to stay, he's rooming with his BFF, Duncan. Keith finds out about Veronica's name on Curly Moran's hand, and at the end of the episode, Keith finds a dead rat underneath the bus, one of the bus seats, towards the back of the bus that had crashed. So there's quite a few things to work through. Let's start with another season one reunion, pretty much. We have creepy people back. Before it was classmates, and now it's kind of creepy people. So we have Aaron, Clarence Weedman, Abel Koontz, and I mean, Amelia DeLongpre, sort of, but she's not creepy and she technically doesn't show up, but it was kind of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I could deal with less Clarence because he's a little bit too creepy. Aaron, I'm...
Oh my god.
Aaron, I'm fine
when
with...
he showed up.
Yeah, he was creepy, right?
Yeah. I was just jumping, like, every single time. It was like, Aaron, oh my god. Abel Koontz, oh my god. Clarence Weedman, he's definitely the creepiest, like, when he opens the door and he's just standing there.
I told you to stay in your own business.
I know. I was like, she's going to die. She's going to die right now.
I know, because the look on her face was just like, and commercial.
Of course, and commercial. And then she's like looking down the hallway or outside of her door, and she's like, okay, homeless guy, and ends up being Abel Coons. It's like, oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. I feel bad so for creepy. Him.
I know, it's so sad. I feel so bad for Amelia. She was like a nice person. Mm. And she went to my school.
The Magic. Actress?
No. No, Amelia. Like,
oh, the character went to UCLA. Mm-hmm. Oh, huh? Come on. Who didn't go to your school? You're like the largest school ever.
She went to LMU. Royal Marymount.
Oh, wait. I totally thought you went to UCLA. Who went to UCLA on this podcast?
Nobody.
None of us?
Oh, my God. I could have sworn that one of us did. Now that's a little bit more fun. I get that now. I'm with you, Ariana. I turned into a very Slytherin-type person right now. Everything that's like, negative, I'm going to just throw out with a Slytherin. You're going to hate me saying that stuff.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I didn't know Loyola Marymount was that big. But what do we think about Veronica and Abel kind of working together, Veronica helping Abel out, even after everything that kind of went down last season?
He's not like he did anything wrong. He was just trying to protect his daughter, I guess. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, mostly he was just creepy, but mm-hmm. I agree. It was nice that she helped him out because he's dying and he wanted to see his daughter. It's the right thing to do.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, she just completely lied about her being alive. And, you know, that line that she has in her voiceover, which was, this family was built on lies. What's one more white lie going to do? And I was just like, oh, I don't know where that sits with me. I feel like it's just kind of a weird thing for someone to do that someone is dying. But I guess you don't want to upset them. You want them to die peacefully.
Yeah, she wanted him to, like, his life has been hard enough, and I feel like telling him that his daughter had been murdered would be heartbreaking.
He did all of this for his daughter. He was dying in jail for her, and then basically the only reason she died was because of the money that he did all this for so she could get. If he hadn't done it, she would be safe and alive.
So, well, the thing is, she died because she was on vacation with some kind of boyfriend, right? Like, well, here's the thing. I'm a bit confused as to how the things with Clarence Weedman went down, and I think I'm going to understand what Veronica did to Abel once we've gotten through everything with Clarence, too. Okay, so, once again, I think it's best if I lay out what I think is right, and you guys can just like poke in and correct me where I'm wrong. So what happened was, throughout the episode, we thought that the guy that Veronica was visiting at Marymount, Ariana, weren't we there in this episode?
Mm-hmm.
Right, at Marymount, that boyfriend.
Her boyfriend, yeah.
Right,
was the one that she would take calls from when she was in the first season?
Absolutely. Okay, so it turned out that she was no longer dating him, but she started dating the guy with the goatee, and he is assumedly the killer now. But it's just confusing, like, how that happened, because why would the Marymount boyfriend follow around his ex-girlfriend with a new boyfriend to wherever they were going in Europe? You guys see where I'm confused? Like, I just don't get where this timeline's coming through and how these people know each other and how they're connected and why they're all so happy in that picture if there was just a recent bad breakup, I'm assuming.
What happened was she got the money at the end, or like during the first season. She got the money. She was super excited. After her boyfriend, the one that also went to the same school, after he finished finals, because remember she was studying for finals as well, I believe, like when she was holed up in the room. Mm-hmm. So like after they finished finals, they went on a European / fun excursion. And so they ended up in Ibiza together. And I'm assuming that they met with a whole bunch of other people, just people they didn't know, but they started hanging out as young people do when they're vacationing.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, because now she's rich, I think we are supposed to assume that her personality slightly changes a little bit. She drops the Loyola Marymount boyfriend, steals his like phone, his phone cards and everything. She like takes it, drops him, and leaves him for who we find out is a diplomat's son. His name is Carlos Mercado. And that was the guy with the goatee.
Mm-hmm.
So then they start dating.
Who's the assumed killer right now?
Correct.
Okay.
They start dating, and then at one point they come back to the States, and they stay at that shady motel, and at some point he kills her.
Oh. See, I want to ask a question right now, but I think it deserves a no comment. I'll ask it, but give me a no comment. Okay. Are we ever going to see more of this storyline, or was that the confirmation that he killed her? But don't tell me yet, because I feel like I want to hear what Adiana has to say.
Oh, no. I was just going to ask that because, like, I feel like this is wrapped up in this episode, but that kind of bums me out because, I don't know, it feels like it shouldn't be.
It's too easy,
but,
right?
But Veronica Mars, like, never lets these things go on.
Right. Like, she doesn't let Sleeping Dogs lie. She's going to poke the sleeping dragon.
No, I mean, like, the episodes. Like, they try and wrap up everything in one episode. But I feel like this is not wrapped up. But then I think that they are just going to say, yeah, just forget about him.
Oh. Well, Adiana, so, tell me if you weren't as confused as I was with that lady calling her on video. Who in the hell was that? And how did she know how to find Veronica? And who did she know how Veronica was? Like, Veronica, is there, like, an underground secret fan club?
It. No, she
Veronica
posted
put out. Yeah, she posted on some sort of message board somewhere when she was searching for Amelia. She was looking for information on her, and so I'm assuming that she put down the best ways to contact her, and probably her Skype was one of them. And so the girl was most likely one of the young people who Amelia kind of met up with or met in Ibiza and was hanging out with.
Well, I feel like she really could have gotten more information from that girl then. Like, you know, like, how do they act toward each other? Did you see them being violent toward one another? Did it talk about their plans when they were coming back to America? But
well, she said he didn't like her, or she didn't like the guy, and that he was a creep.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like she's almost a witness to a very serious crime that they should have, if anything, you know, had her in an investigation room to find out more, not just be, like, talking to her on Skype and let that be that. Like, why isn't there police involvement in this yet? Is there ever going to be? Is that because the Kane thing went down the way it did and Clarence Weedman doesn't want to get in trouble for paying off Amelia?
I mean, I think that may be one of the reasons is that Clarence Weedman is trying to protect the Canes as they're currently under, they're going to go on trial for obstruction of justice because of that.
Right.
I also think, though, that because he is a diplomat's son, Clarence, and he has immunity, Clarence just wants to go the fast and easy route versus getting the police involved because they can't do anything about it because he does have immunity.
Wait, a diplomat's son has immunity?
Yes.
So they can do whatever the heck they want. Okay.
Pretty much. Law and Order has taught us this.
This is going to sound super dumb, but I don't know what a diplomat means.
A diplomat is basically... they work for, I believe they work for their government, like their country's government. So let's say that Carlos, this is going to be a really bad assumption, but let's say he's from Spain. His family is from Spain and his dad is a Spanish diplomat. So basically the diplomat lives in a different country and kind of makes decisions or he works with the different, the country that he's living in on behalf of his home country.
Oh.
So they're guaranteed safety in this country. Otherwise it starts like a war.
Yes.
Pretty much.
And so safety includes being arrested for things.
So you can do whatever the heck you want as a diplomat in another country and get away with it.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh,
it's a gray area. A lot of other crime, like procedural crime dramas, they have a lot of diplomat things going on. They can only technically be tried in their own country, but most times it doesn't happen.
Right.
Because
they'll
speak
their own country is like, no, that's one of our brothers. We're going to protect him. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we were to try Carlos here, it would cause a rift. It would cause a lot of tension between our country and, for all intents and purposes right now, Spain.
Right. Now I am very much more in the understanding of why they were doing this so underground. You guys are so good at explaining things that are confusing.
Well, that's how I perceive it. I'm not like a political science was never, I didn't take a lot of stuff in that. So I could be wrong, but that's kind of how I put it together through other TV shows. So if anybody else knows how it works.
I'm a government major, which is basically poli-sci. I concur with Danielle. And most importantly, Law and Order tells yes. us it is so therefore it must be.
Okay, bringing that up again, since Gabrielle, you apparently know things. So Logan's case really confused me because I thought that he was let go for his crime. And I'm pretty sure you can't be tried for the same crime twice. Good. So how can they arrest him again for Felix's
good question.
Murder?
See, it never went to trial. I think Veronica explains this in the first or second episode back, in the second season, that the district attorney decided like he didn't have enough to go to trial with. So Logan actually never went in front of a jury and never was tried, and never had to go through that process. He just went through pre-trial stuff. And so also there is new evidence. And so I think that's the main reason that this is happening, but also they do have a new witness coming forward.
And I have to admit that the reason I know what Ariana's referencing about being tried twice comes from the movie Double Jeopardy, where I think she's, it's something really dumb. Like,
she kills her husband.
She gets to kill her husband because she allegedly killed her husband before. And she really didn't. And she's like, no, I'm really going to kill you in real life, even though I was trying to do that before. But this time it's really happening and I won't get in trouble. I'll be able to walk free. And it's like a very dramatic telling of a Double Jeopardy, but it makes the most sense. It's, I think, a good way to think about what Adiana's referencing. If I explained that well, I mean, the easiest way of... Yeah, okay, you got it. Good. I was like, did I make sense? Yeah.
Totally makes sense. I haven't even seen that, but that makes sense.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So does that kind of make Logan's case a little bit easier to understand?
Yeah, that makes it, cleared it up.
Definitely.
Okay. So what do we think is going to happen to Logan now that his house is burned down, he's living with Duncan, there are tensions, more tensions with the PCHers, just bad news?
Adiana, like are you sad that the Bird TP is done?
It never really got on.
You didn't see it?
I mean, there was potential, but then they didn't follow through.
No, they didn't.
Like, just like the Wallace and Veronica.
Oh, good point. Okay, obviously. Now you're getting me on that relationship not being realistic, too. Oh.
I'm just bummed.
All
I mean,
my ships in the
show just
get
broken.
Things
if they had gone more seasons, but they didn't, so.
Oh, jeez. So, Bro TP's done past that. I mean, this is me and Aliana assuming that the house was burnt down by the PCHers, the bike gang.
What were you saying, Gabrielle?
Well, I was just saying, so we know, or maybe we know this in the next episode, so I'm not going to say anything, but Weevil and Logan,
question about that, but I don't know if I can ask if it was.
You can ask.
I'm really confused about Logan and Weevil and if they're mad at each other or if they're not, because it's so confusing.
Don't worry,
but
so
I feel
are
like
they.
That's more in the next episode.
I think it's more in the next episode, but I will say that Logan's kind of pissed at the PCHers. They kind of beat him up pretty badly in the first season finale. So I don't think he's exactly happy with Weevil. And Weevil's, you know, who he considers to be basically his brother, got killed, and he thinks Logan did it. So
okay, so they're definitely on the outs. Definitely.
Yeah, I would say that's a good assumption. I just think it's funny because... In a sense, we never know if Mrs. Navarro, Weevil's grandmother, goes back to work for the Eccles after she's accused of credit card fraud. It's unclear. Yeah. Like, who knows? But Weevil, I mean, let's say she did go back. So Weevil just burned down the house that she worked in, theoretically. And so he just made his grandma unemployed, which I just think, I'm just like, Weevil, if this is true, why'd you do this? And I also think it's just interesting. I would love to see the Bro TP happen more, so I would love to see them live together. I think that would be a hilarious, like, it would just be so funny, and it would say a lot about class and Neptune, but who knows if that's gonna happen.
Astute observation, though. That's really awesome.
I don't think it's gonna happen, but I wish. All these things that we wish could happen, but I really don't think they're going to. Okay, no, that's a lot, Gabrielle, because I was super confused in that phone call. when he's like, it's on, I was like, does that mean that you're secretly working together, or does that mean that you're not? But okay.
I was, while you guys were discussing kind of what happened between Logan and Weevil, I kind of realized that Weevil may be motivated in part by survivor's guilt, because I don't know if I would call it survivor's guilt, but basically the only reason why his cousin got killed that night was because Weevil sicked his gang on Logan because he thought Logan killed Lily.
Yeah.
Quick correction. I don't think it was his cousin, but was.
I'm sorry.
His good friend, who's his friend. Basically his brother.
They're all cousins, aren't they? I mean, all Mexicans are related.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
I'm just kidding.
Well, are Slytherins related?
I am Mexican. Like, I'm not being racist. I'm Mexican. But no, also, I think so, because then he left also. And he probably feels like if he had been there, he could have stopped it.
He didn't leave, though. He was kind of knocked out, I think. So I don't think it was a conscious decision for him to leave. I think Logan punched him.
It wasn't a conscious decision. But yeah, so I think he's mad at Logan because he thinks Logan killed Felix. But I think he's also sort of somewhere angry at himself as well. But then him being mad at Logan for supposedly killing Felix is kind of like him being mad at Logan for supposedly killing Lily. And it's just a vicious circle, I feel.
I wish that they had developed their friendship a lot more in the first season before this happened, because then this would have made this a lot more dramatic. Like, they're fighting.
Yeah, I agree.
If he was like, I thought you were my friend, but then he's not.
He was his friend. And he betrayed them.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Too many Harry Potter references today.
Good. All right, so last question having to deal with this episode. What is up with that rat?
That's such a... take it out of context. We're just like sitting around like talking about a rat. What?
No, it's really confusing.
I don't think I'm supposed to know what's going on yet, so I'm just going to ride the wave. Okay. There's nothing that got there.
Wait, was it taped? Was it taped there?
Yeah.
Yes.
It looked like it had like scotch tape.
Oh my god, that's so weird.
Okay. So here's the only theory I have.
Danielle, talk. Go.
The rat was taped to the underside of a seat on the bus before the bus had crashed. Now. Oh, God.
Who was sitting in the back?
Meg.
Is that what you want to say? Who was sitting in the back?
Meg.
No, she wasn't.
She moved.
Well, she was sitting in the back. I don't want to be spoilery, and I think Gabrielle should help me with this. But so basically, there is a literal, and it's a rat. It's a rat. I'm not going to say anything else because I don't want to spoil
it. Oh, it might have been where Veronica was sitting, like she's the rat who ratted out someone.
Please help. You know what I'm trying to say, right?
Kind of. For physics purposes, I'll just pose that. Like, my question whenever I watch this episode is, so the bus basically, like, crashed into the water, and yet this rat
still there.
Held up by tape. Still by made it. Tape. Okay, that totally makes sense, television. So I love TV physics, and that's just a complete example of that, I thought.
That's a good point.
This rat is so confusing. Okay, I'm going to go with Mitch's thing. But was Veronica sitting in the back? I'm trying to think of who was sitting in the back. Meg was sitting in the back.
But she moved later, to that back right window.
I don't think that was for her. It makes more sense that it would be for Veronica. But who would put it there? It must have been somebody on the bus.
Who would know?
Who's sketch? Well, that new girl, Gia, she's sketch.
Okay, so you picked up on the literal, or like that the rat was like for... possibly for someone being a rat.
Right, but there's Veronica being a rat.
Oh, wait, that other kid. The one from the PCHers. He could have been a rat.
He could have been.
What?
But it's probably more for Veronica. Keep going, yes. Danielle. Sorry. I didn't
mean
to interrupt.
No, I'm going to stop because I think they're going to deal with it next two episodes, and I don't want to go forward anymore.
I have one more thing. Because Adiana, it doesn't make sense that you would know where someone's sitting on the bus seat to put a rat underneath them because there's no assigned seats. My theory, one of them, is that this could be the signature of a serial killer.
Hmm? Oh, and then they got off.
The serial killer?
Oh my god.
They might have. I mean, we're not thinking of... Let's think of the only characters that we know who were still on that bus. The teacher, Meg, and the bus driver. That's it.
But then this person would have had to know that some people wouldn't have been on the bus.
Did they really... Oh, so we're saying it's one of Veronica's friends. Like, we're talking... Gia. Like, there we go. Like Gia. She totally went in the limo. Oh, that's so sketch. I mean. She's a new character, and a big accident happened after she just happened to involve herself with... happened to take herself out of that bad situation. Like, she was barely out of that situation, but to me, it just came off as sketchy because she just jumped in their limo like, oh, hey, I'm coming along too because I'm flirting with Dick. Like, it seemed too forced. Oh, Adiana, I think you found it right there.
Ariana, are you, like, speechless right now?
I'm going to stop talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
I totally think you have it. You totally found that Gia could be it.
Well, then I'm going to stop while I'm ahead.
You think you have it?
I don't know.
All right. Well, like I said, there's going to be the things that I want to say, I can't because it's going to be revealed or like it's going to be discussed and things are going to be put together in later episodes. So I'm going to stop. But that was a good discussion on the rat. And with that, we will end with Rat Saw God, and we will move into our favorite scenes and favorite lines really quickly. So, favorite scenes. Mine was two things. One, Veronica curling up with Logan by accident because of the sweater, the infamous sweater that, for newbies, you will see it pop up at least one more time. It's Duncan's sweater, and it gets passed to Logan because Logan is homeless and clothless, so he's wearing the sweater, and Veronica curls up with him.
Clothless? Oh, that's great, because Duncan has a way better wardrobe than Logan, so
yes.
That's just going to make Logan extra attractive.
Sweater. And then my second favorite scene was when Veronica was at the car rental place, because there are two cameos in that scene. Did you catch them? Did anybody catch him?
Yeah.
Nope. The first one was the boss of the entire like car rental place, the one that Veronica talks to originally, Joss Whedon.
That's him?
What? That's him. Mm-hmm.
You kind of blew my mind right there.
Yeah, and the second one, the girl that she talks to in the car rental place, that was actually a promotion that the CW or... like WGN would do with America's Next Top Model. It was one of like the prizes that one of the models could win, and that was actually Kim from Cycle 2.
Yeah. Oh my god. Mm-hmm.
So they used to do like, hey, here's a contest you could win like a speaking part on Veronica Mars, and here's what you have to do, and she won, and so she was on Veronica Mars.
Did you guys realize that in the first episode they also had a contestant on there, the winner of I think Cycle 2?
Was
in the first episode.
Yeah.
What was her name? I forgot. She was the teacher.
The teacher on the bus.
Oh gosh. Yes, I can't remember what her name was. But I know who you're talking about. But yeah, so that was my favorite scene.
So mine is also tied. The first is Keith calling Veronica out on being a liar. I really like that because I thought it was him being in charge once more and saying, look, I found this on Curly, or I saw that this was on Curly's hand, and I had to find out from Lam that you were dating Logan Eccles and all these things. So I said, go Keith in that regard. He was acting like a dad. And then also when Veronica curls up to Logan, and I don't know how you wouldn't realize that it's not your boyfriend if your boyfriend had, like, Logan and Duncan are similar in their looks, but Logan is like he's scrawnier and skinnier. So it's just funny.
He is not scrawny, Gabrielle.
Okay, well, he's more Ron Weasley than he is like Harry Potter, if that makes sense in terms of his looks.
No, it doesn't, because Ron Weasley is more attractive. Well, I guess, yeah, Ron Weasley is more attractive than Harry Potter. So
Ron Weasley is my husband, so it works. Okay, so anyway, I just thought it was funny because it's like, how do you not realize that you're hugging someone who's not your boyfriend, and maybe that's not just telling her something. But first and foremost, Keith calling Veronica out was excellent.
It was good. Ariana, favorite scene?
Mine was the scenes with Aaron Nichols, like the first time he comes on, because he was, well, first of all, I go, God, Aaron Nichols, so creepy. But then he starts talking about, he's like, Duncan did it. And he was so convincing. I was like, oh my God, maybe Duncan do it. And I was like, wait, hold on. Aaron Nichols is crazy. And he tried to stuff Veronica into a refrigerator. So, yeah. He's very convincing.
Yes. And you were an Aaron Eccles fan before, so.
I know. See, I'm crazy.
So weird. You're crazy. Mitch, favorite scene?
Mine was when Veronica made the fake art gallery to prove to her dad that she was at one, even though she was at the hotel. I was amazed that she was able to take those nails out and put them all in the wall to hang up all those, you know, pictures. But maybe that's just TV physics. We weren't supposed to notice that.
Most likely. That's usually what happens.
Yeah.
That is funny.
Yeah. But she did a pretty good job. I mean, I was like, ooh, wow.
Yeah.
She, maybe not at a cheap motel, but you would think that, like, the art would be more, like, bolted to the walls or screwed into the walls, right?
You would think.
But... Yeah, but it was pretty easy for her to do that. Probably because it was at the cheap motel or something. That's what I'm going to assume right there.
They're probably really just up with, like, Ticky Tack or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably with that guy. Oh, my God. What did he... Naughty Girls? But he spelled it with a K.
Naughty Girl.
Naughty Girl, like knots.
Yep, like knots.
That was funny.
All right, so favorite lines. My favorite line, it's actually a short dialogue between Logan and Dick. And Logan is apologizing about dating Dick's mom, or stepmom. And he says, no hard feelings. And Dick says, no, she gave me a few.
Ah. Wah, wah, wah.
Gabrielle, favorite line?
So mine is actually the same as Danielle's, because this is my favorite line. So I just wasn't even going to try to pick another one. But I also loved how the conversation that led up to that, when Dick said, better you than the cable guy, I guess. And I'd be lying to say if I've never perved on your mom while she was still prancing around the pool in that hardly there bikini of hers. Logan, great. So no hard feelings. Dick, no, she gave me a few. I also thought it was just sad because I loved Lynn Eccles. I just thought she was a sad, like, character. And the fact that Dick is just like, oh yeah, your mom's dead, but... you know, whatever. I was just perving on her. It was just kind of a sad moment.
It's so sad. Ariana, favorite line?
Mine was when Papa Mars went to go see, I guess, Papa Eccles. And he said, I came all the way out here to let you know that if anything happens to my daughter in, say, the next, 70, 80 years, you're the one who's going to pay for it. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, buddy. And Mitch.
Mine was when Cliff was talking to Logan. He said, okay, my name is Cliff. I'll be your, if you cannot afford an attorney. So what are you trying to prove?
Cliff. I love Cliff.
Do love Cliff. He had a girl on me. It took a while.
He's funny. I'm happy that they keep him on.
Yeah, he's one of those fun side characters that is, he's probably equally as fun as Corny, but he gets more screen time than Corny.
Yay. All right, so just a sort of quick news update before we move into our listener feedback and end our episode. In case you haven't heard, there is a new Veronica Mars movie clip that is out. We have it on Hypeable if you would like to check it out. Newbies who have not seen the rest of the series, I would highly suggest that you do not check it out, just so you know, or just so you save yourself from kind of not knowing who survived season 3, let's say, or who comes back. So, but all of you people who are marshmallows from a long time ago who've seen the entire series, go ahead, check that out. It's awesome. I was like gripping my computer screen at work while watching it. It was a little embarrassing, but I didn't even care.
I watched it a few times, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, quick reminder for those of you who donated to the Veronica Mars Kickstarter, rewards are starting to come out. T-shirts are coming out. I'm sitting right next to mine right now. So sit tight. They will be there soon. So it's so exciting. Everybody's going to be walking around in marshmallow gear soon. And there's going to be, I'm assuming, stuff for the movie for everybody to buy. So it's going to be great.
There will be. It'll be separate from the Kickstarter backers.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be fun. All right. So listener feedback. Let's see. Mitch, do you want to take that first tweet there?
Because sure.
It's for you.
Yeah, definitely. So this comes from Shelley on Twitter, and she wrote to me, "There's a part in the new VM movie video that at Mitch Clow might like since it involves lick, but I guess he can't watch it." And I was really upset
because
I was
like,
it was such a tease. That's why I was very upset. I was like, I don't need to know that now, because now I'm going to be really upset that I can't watch this clip. If you tease me with lick, it's going to be absolute torture.
Mm-hmm. Too bad, so sad. Ariana, you want to take that second tweet there?
Yeah, this one's from Ashley, and her Twitter handle is Charlie Musgron. And she said, "Just stumbled upon the Rewatchable podcast, loving the Veronica Mars episodes. Catching up real quick, super awesome." Thanks, Ashley. We think you are super awesome.
Yes, we do. And Gabrielle, do you want to read that iTunes review?
Ah, we got a review. Yay.
Woo! Sure. Thank you for giving us an iTunes review. So this is from Kate7950. "So happy I found this. I love this podcast. You guys are so smart and witty in your commentary and analysis. I'm a hardcore Veronica Mars fan and love rewatching the series with you guys. I can't wait to see which show you guys choose next."
Thank you so much, Kate. And thank you to all of our listeners who tweet us, who have discussions on our hypeable posts. We really appreciate it. We love hearing from you. We love talking back to you. So keep doing it. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypeable.com. We will be reading them mercilessly. I refresh my page like every 10 minutes when I'm at work to see if anybody else has said anything. And you can leave us an iTunes review like Kate did. We would love to see those, and it helps other people find us. So.
Yes, so yeah. Everyone who gives us an iTunes review, 5 stars, we will be sure to vote for you for homecoming, because yes. We are sure that you are very badass and smoking hot, just like Veronica. We know it. Those are the only people that can listen to this show, is the smoking hot ones, who are very badass.
All right, so that is all that we have for you today. We'll be back next week with yet another podcast episode. We will be discussing season 2, episodes 7 and 8. So get ready for that. Get watching, and we will see you later. I'm Danielle.
I'm Gabrielle.
I'm Ariana.
And I'm Mitch.
And we'll see you later, marshmallows. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.